This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in the house of God. It is a day we have designated here Jubilee Sunday, when we invite all who are able to be present in worship in the sanctuary to come and have an opportunity to connect with one another. For those who need to worship online, to be present in real time so you can interact with one another over live stream. And if you are here in the sanctuary this morning and it helps you to have food in order to connect with people, we've got donuts out in Reed Hall. So after the service, make sure and make your way to Reed Hall and enjoy the donuts provided to us by our hospitality committee. I'd like to invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again, if you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can copy and place in your browser that will take you right to the registration page. Just a few announcements as we prepare for the weeks ahead. It is, believe it or not, almost Advent. 2 weeks from today, November 27th, is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the Christian year. And I wanted to invite you to mark your calendars for a couple of special events. On Saturday, December 3rd, we'll have a mini retreat here in McWhorter Hall from 9 to 12 to help us get grounded spiritually for the season of Advent. Whitney Simpson is going to be with us in leading that time together. And then the next day, Sunday the 4th at 4 o'clock, we'll gather for our wreath-making workshop so we can all get our households ready with our Advent wreaths to light one candle per week as we mark together this season of waiting and preparation. Today, however, is our Jubilee Sunday and our Giving Sunday, a day when we invite all of you who are able and feel led to make your estimate of giving for 2023. And I'm going to invite Laura Creekmore to come forward. Laura serves on our finance committee, and she has a word to share with us as we prepare and pray to do our giving today.
Good morning, everybody. If you are new to our church or the Methodist church, you may not be as familiar with Pledge Sunday. So we've got cards in the pews. And if you're with us online, under the Give link, there's a place where you can make your estimate of giving. And this pledge is where we say to each other, here's the amount of financial support that I can give to the church in 2023. And that pledge really helps us plan. It makes a big difference as all the different committees and the staff work on the different things we're going to do together in the coming year. And I will tell you, I'm so excited about what's coming. I feel like sitting on the finance committee this year, I've really gotten a sneak peek into some of these things. And so I want to give you a sneak peek this morning as we're thinking about our plans for 2023. And normally, for many years, I think a lot of organizations do their budgets this way. We've looked at the amount of money we spent in 1 year and said, well, inflation's about this amount, and so we'll probably spend about that much more next year. And I'm really excited. We actually did a very different process this year for our budget planning, and it's one that may be familiar to some of you in your organizations. We think about all the things that need to be done and start from there. So we kind of start from scratch. It's called zero-based budgeting. We say, if we were starting from the beginning, what are all the things we'd want to plan for our community, for the community we live in? What are all those things that need doing in 2023? And we added up our budget from that perspective. And it's brought us some really exciting things that are going to be coming to us that we'll all be part of in the coming year. So I give you just a few of those so you'll know. A retreat for the entire church. It's been a long time since we've done an all-church retreat, so that's going to be super exciting. A young adult retreat. I laugh at myself a little bit. I feel like I've gotten old enough where I'm really excited to see many people younger than me joining the church and all the baptisms that we have with children coming into our community. And young adults are going to have a retreat this year, so we're really excited about that kind of effort. New musical pieces for our choirs to sing and to share with us, so that's very exciting. Raises for our staff, that's super critical. We want to make sure that our staff who serve us every day have what they need in the world. Here's one that you may not know. If you don't have young children, Our Vacation Bible School has cost about $100 a year for several years now. Now, if you have to pay for summer camp, you know $100 is really cheap. But $100 is expensive enough that it means some children don't get to participate, and we don't want that barrier. It's going to cost $10 next summer. We're really excited about that kind of planning. The youth are going to take a trip to the Quadrennial Youth Conference for the Methodist Church. We're going to have a multi-generational movie night. We're going to have speakers on a lot of the topics that we've been learning and caring about. We're going to be able to fully fund the Quiet Place Ministry going forward. That one's become so important to the broader community we live in. And speaking of Donut Sundays, we're going to do that 6 times next year. So mark your calendars. There'll be more donuts. As I think about all of these kind of things and many, many others, all the things we count on and love about this community, it's now time to make our pledge and say, here's the support I can give to ensure that we can do all of those things together, that this is the kind of world and community we can build. I want to tell you something. You know, in the Bible, it encourages us to tithe, to give 10% of our income. And I have to tell you, there have been many years in my own life when I got ready to write my pledge, and I just wasn't happy with the number I felt like I could write down on that line. Don't let that stop you from turning in your pledge card. The financial realities of the world are very different from what God sees in your own heart. It's most important that we think about our role in what we're building together, what we can give, and if you give generously and everybody else gives generously, I think we're going to build something amazing together in 2023. So turn in your card or turn in your pledge online, and I'm excited to see what we build together. Thank you so much.
And I'm grateful for you and all of our finance committee and all our leaders who have helped move us through this zero-based budgeting process. It's been really exciting, and we're looking forward to next year. You'll have an opportunity, if you brought your cards with you, to place them in the offering plates as they go by. There are also some cards in the pew racks if you want to fill those out this morning. Or as Laura said, you can always go online to our website /estimate now and make your estimate for 2023. We have in worship this morning a vision that the prophet Isaiah places before us of the world that God dreams that we would live in. And so let us open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to this vision. May it lead us forward in ministry. May it lead us today as we worship.
Thank you. We come to worship you this morning, O God.
We come to support and encourage one another.
Remind us of your vision. May our time together bless us.
May our time together inspire us to live into the dream of a love of community.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. God of the new heaven and new earth, we hear your vision of a world where all have enough, where justice reigns, and where peace prevails. Help us to have hope and faith in that vision, especially when that we experience in the world can feel so different. Forgive us for the ways we have contributed to the suffering of others through our action or our inaction. Forgive us for staying silent when we should speak. Renew our spirits this day. Help us to be people who work to bring your vision for the kingdom to our communities. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what they say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I'm about to create new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and in its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or in my people. No more shall the sound of the cries of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who doesn't live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall not build house, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children of calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. To the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups in the sanctuary to be seated. If there are any kids who want to come up and join me here, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. Come on up. Thank you all for singing and helping lead worship this morning. It was wonderful. Thank you, Eva Grace, for reading. You did a great job. Good to see all of you. I like to cook. And one of the things that helps me when I'm cooking is to see a picture of the thing that I'm cooking, because I can see what it's supposed to look like. And while I'm cooking, I can try and make it so it looks like that. Sometimes it helps us to have a picture of things. And our scripture reading this morning that Eva Grace just read for us was a picture that God gave to a prophet named Isaiah to show us what life should look like, what God wants the world to look like. And it was things like, everybody lives to be at least 100 years old. Everybody has a house to live in. Everybody has enough food to eat. And nobody hurts anybody else or destroys anything. I think about this stole I'm wearing as kind of a picture. It's of children from all over the world, all different kinds of children, all singing and happy together. And when I see pictures like that, it helps me know what to do. So this picture that the prophet painted helps me know that part of my job while I'm here on earth is to be kind and to take care of people and to help people be healthy and happy and have enough food, things like that. So, I know you guys are really good at that. You do a lot of things every day to make the world more like God wants it to be. You're kind to people, you share what you have, you hug somebody if they're feeling sad. So keep doing that, and all of us together will try to make this world more like God wants it to be. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the picture that the prophet Isaiah painted for us of your dream for the world. Help us to do what we can to make the world look just like that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think most of you are older, but if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor James and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church in the chapel, and the rest of you can go back to your seats with friends or parents. Before I dive into the sermon this morning, I want to ask for a little bit of grace and to tell you a little bit about what's going on with me. Earlier this week, as part of a study that I'm participating in at Vanderbilt Hospital, I got a lumbar puncture, so something I volunteered for, but it has left me with a headache that I have been dealing with for the past few days. It's a little better this morning, but because of that, I have not been able to give my very best to this text from Isaiah. And I want to offer an apology for that, because I have been so looking forward to diving into this text with all of you. And it is such a powerful image that the prophet gives us for why we do what we do and why we are who we are. So my prayer is that in spite of my limitations this morning, the word of the Lord will come through the voice of the prophet Isaiah and inspire all of us. So in that vein, will you pray with me? God of all creation, you have in many different ways, through your scriptures and other ways, shown us the world you dream of. The world you will for us and for all people. We thank you for these words that come to us from thousands of years ago that help paint a picture of your dream. And I pray in these next few moments, regardless of my limitations today, that we might all see this vision with our eyes and our hearts and live it out as your people in this world. In Christ's name, we pray together. Amen. On August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stepped out on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. Some of you know that that was not actually the speech he had prepared to give that day. He had made it through about two-thirds of his remarks when he heard the voice of his friend Mahalia Jackson cry out to him from the podium, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." And in that moment, he pushed his notes aside and began to tell the world about his dream. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will sit together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream today," he said. You've heard the speech, I hope, many times. You've probably read it many times. I certainly can't do it justice standing here today. But we know that in that moment, Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet. He was painting for us a vision that was deeply rooted in the God he believed in, the God we all believe in, a God of justice and righteousness, who created this world to be a certain way. And Dr. King recognized that the world he saw when he looked around him was not where God wanted it to be. And so he proclaimed this vision, and he inspired a generation, inspired every generation since then, including our own, to live into the dream. We could see it. I listened to the speech again this weekend as I was lying on my back. And I could see it. The children holding hands, his four children being judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I could see it. That's what prophets do for us. They paint a vision of the world as God would have it be. They help us to see it and invite us to live into it. That's what the prophet in the book of Isaiah was doing for his own people and for us 2,000 plus years later. Now, the prophet then was speaking in a very different moment to a very different people. If you know much about the history of Israel, they had been overrun by the Babylonian army. The temple had been destroyed. Their homes were in shambles. Many of them had been dragged into exile into Babylon. But the day came when the exiles were released, were able to go home. And this is the moment that the prophet speaks into in chapter 65. It's a moment of hope and potential and also brokenness, because they stand back in their homeland surrounded by the rubble of the temple and of their homes and of their crops. And it's hard for them to imagine what life could be like. And so the prophet speaks and says, "The word of the Lord, God is about to create a new heaven and a new earth. God will restore the joy of Jerusalem, and here's what that Jerusalem will look like." Now, it's easy for us perhaps to hear this prophecy, this vision, and think the prophet's talking about pie in the sky, way down the road, that this is the final day. This isn't what the world is going to look like now. It's what it will look like when God reconciles all things to God's self. But there's so much in this vision that is all about the here and now. And I believe it is a vision that God gives to us of what God is already doing right now in our midst every day and inviting us to be part of it. In this vision, we see the heart of God. So what are some of the things that the prophet describes, that the word of the Lord portrays in this vision? "No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days. There will be no more infant mortality. And those and all will live to the age of 100 at least. Those who die at the age of 100 will be considered youths." To me, that says, no more cancer, no more Alzheimer's, no more COVID-19, no more suicide, no more gun violence. Health care for everyone. They will build houses and live in them. They will plant crops and eat the fruit. Everyone will have a place to live, and everyone will have enough to eat. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. There will be no domestic violence. There will be no more war. No more weapons being made. This is a vision that speaks into our world as we know it right now. And when the vision begins, the word of the Lord says, my people will rejoice in what I am creating. And I hear in that an invitation that God wants God's people to be part of building this world, to do everything we can to manifest it here and now, to be able to see it in our heart and our dreams and live as if it is already true. And there are so many different ways that we are called to do that. Not one of us can do all of it, but each of us can do our part and together help God make the kingdom manifest. For example, I heard about a church that was in a rural community and looked around at their statistics of their community and realized the infant mortality rate was a lot higher in their county than it was nationally. And even though it was a very small church, they took that on. That was their mission, to lower the infant mortality rate in their county. And they did. They provided prenatal counseling and support of single moms and young families and especially poor families. And by the work and the ministry that they did, they helped bring down that number in their community. When I think about this notion that all shall live to the age of 100 at least, I think about all the work that's being done right across the street to eradicate disease. This study that I'm participating in, I signed up for gladly because, as many of you know, my mother died with Alzheimer's. And it's an opportunity for me every couple of years to have a check-in, to have my memory tested, and to get an MRI and the lumbar puncture, which I won't be ready for another 2 years. But I also feel like it's something I can do to get rid of this disease that steals away so many of our loved ones. Because I believe that God's will for the world is that Alzheimer's would be eradicated. And so this is one small thing I can do to help that happen. And I'm amazed as I walk through the halls of Vanderbilt Hospital and get taken to all these different places for the research, all the people who are spending all day, every day, doing this kind of research for the health and well-being of all of us. I think about all of those who are caring for the sick and walking alongside those who are in distress. I think about the vision that everyone would have a home to live in and enough to eat. Some of you are deeply involved in feeding ministries and making sure that food is getting distributed to those who need it. Apparently, there's plenty of food to go around. It's just getting it to people that's the problem. And some of you are involved in doing that. This congregation has been, I don't know how many Habitat houses we've helped to build at this point, but we have helped families have a home to live in. We're living into this vision of God. We can see it, and we can live into it. This image that Isaiah provides us is our why. This is why we do what we do, because we believe in what God is creating in our midst. In just a few moments, we will rise together and we'll affirm our faith in this creed that we say nearly every week when we say with one another, I believe in God who has created and is creating. May we lean into what God is creating. May we see the vision with our eyes. May we believe it with all of our hearts. And may we help bring it about with our hands and our feet and our lives. Amen.
And now we rise in body and or in spirit. And proclaim together how God is creating. The affirmation of faith is found on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayer requests. There's a great card in the pew rack in front of you, and we would love for you to share with us things going on in your life and how we can be in prayer for you. This week, we will be praying for you. If you're online, you can click the Contact Us link. Here in the sanctuary, that gray card can go in the offering plate when it's passed in a few moments. Our thoughts and our prayers are with longtime West End members' family, Joseph Durant Joe Doubleday, who passed away on Sunday, November 6th. Among her survivors is her husband, Ben Doubleday. A memorial service is planned for Friday, November the 18th at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary, and visitation will be in Reed Hall preceding the service at 10 a.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Compassionate God, passages like our scripture this morning give us a vision to build your kingdom of peace. Let us live in peace, God. Let children live in peace, in homes free from abuse. Let them go to school in peace, free from the violence and fear. Let them play in peace, God, in safe parks, in safe neighborhoods, and watch over them. Let us travel and gather in peace. Protect us along whatever road we take. Let nations dwell together in peace without the threat of war hovering over them. Together, let us pray for our local, state, and national leaders who were elected recently and who are already in office, who make decisions about everything from school system to water systems in our communities. Grant God your grace to our leaders so that they might make wise decisions in matters that will have an impact on education, in matters that will have an impact on our environment and creation, in matters that will have an impact on our safety, and in matters that will have an impact on how we live and relate with one another. Grant wisdom and peace to us all, and guide us to seek, see, and create your kingdom on earth. Bless the use of the gifts we pledge today and bring about your kingdom. When solutions seem impossible, show us the way. Where there are differences, let your love prevail. Heal our divisions and heal our land. And so we join our voices to pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is with that grateful heart that Laura Creekmore spoke about earlier today that we give our tithes, our offerings, our very lives. Amen.
Thank you.
can see one or two of you dancing a little bit. Dancing with joy, we are marching to Zion. Can you see it? God's dream, we all have enough, we all are fed and welcomed, where we go with joy. So let us go with joy to live into God's dream. Amen.